This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. The Knicks got their season started last night in the wrong way, although I think that's the best thing that could have happened to them. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I know, BT, you have concerns about this team, you know, being as good as they were a year ago and the chemistry and all that stuff. So we talked about it. Yankees in the World Series. We'll do more football tomorrow. How many times are we going to say it? The Giants, it is what it is, Monday night against the Steelers. If there's anything left in the tank for the Giants, let's see if they can be competitive. But the Jets, a big game, and there's a lot of injuries going on with the Jets, specifically with Rodgers, who's now dealing with a hamstring as well. He's really banged up here. I know Reddick is back and should be in action. Finally, we get to see him against New England. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way the Jets could lose this game, can they?
I mean, I don't think so. They're in disarray. I saw something this morning. They're maybe starting to contemplate getting rid of Mayo already. Like, I guess internally it's very sloppy.
Did your Belichick took a shot at him, too?
At Mayo?
Yeah.
That I didn't hear.
Basically saying, I heard the morning show talking about it today. Basically saying, and I don't know, Belichick's all over the place. You can't keep up, whether it's Manning cast, McAfee, whatever.
It's pretty interesting, though, when he speaks. He's saying stuff.
I guess Mayo called the Patriots' defense soft.
Okay.
And Belichick said, well, I don't know how they're soft. It was the best part of the team a year ago, and it's all the same players.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a direct shot.
He is a king, man. I love Belichick. Hey, you know what? He should be coaching. You want to say they got stale there? Fine. But you can't tell me Gerard Mayo is a better coach than Bill Belichick. And I'll take it a step further. I like Raheem Morris, and I understand why Atlanta made that hire. You can't tell me he's better than Belichick. Look at all the talent that team has. They wouldn't be better off with Bill Belichick right now.
Oh, they would. I mean, there's probably only a few coaches right now. Not that they're historically better than Belichick, but they're more offensive-oriented. They've got their system. I mean, Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick. We don't need to discuss anything else. That's why, you know, I know he hates the Jets and he's throwing dirt on the Giants. I still think that there's going to be a lot of conversations on the station about Belichick going to save one of those two teams.
Yeah, and maybe we'll see. But either way, Reddick coming back, I would expect.
I think the Jets will win, man. I do.
And even so, it's just pushing it further. I know Boomer's been on the Jets are going to be a playoff team thing. They have to get to two more wins, get to the bye week at 5-6 or whatever it is. Something like that, I think he said.
Well, I heard him say this morning that.
Four and five, could it be? When's their bye?
I don't know. You have it in front of you?
No, I'll look it up.
All right. I heard him say this morning, I don't think he's wrong with this, where there's going to basically be at this point now, like a 4-day span that determines if the Jets season is over or if they've got a fighting chance. You got to beat the Pats. There's absolutely nothing. There's no compromise. You must. And then 4 days after that, it's the Texans at home on Halloween, and Houston's good, but not amazing. And by the way, the Jets beat the Texans last year with Zach Wilson. So if you can, and I know we're putting things forward. I mean, they've lost four straight. Now we're going to give them two straight wins. We're not going to give it to them. It's just a source of conversation where, like, if the Jets can somehow muster up that second win, because they should beat the Pats. Pats are awful. If they do win two in a row, you know, you've got the remnants of a season. You got a chance.
So 2-5 at New England.
Win.
Home against the Texans.
I'm going to give them the win now. Boomer inspired me.
Okay, fine.
4-5.
So now you're 4-5 at Arizona.
I'm going to have to give them that win.
Yeah. And then home against the Colts before the bye.
I mean, now I'm going to give them the winning. I've always said they're going to beat the Colts.
Right. So you'd be 6-5.
But dude, are they going to really win four straight?
Probably not. But even if they did, here's the problem mathematically. Let's say they did win four straight games and get themselves to 6-5 going into the bye. All is feeling good.
With six to go.
Yeah. Right. Okay, home against Seattle. Let's say they win that one. Are they going to beat Miami twice?
Yeah, probably not.
Right,
not
a six loss already. Uh-huh. At Jacksonville, win.
Yeah.
Home against the Rams should be a win.
Might even trade Stafford, the Rams.
I mean, their schedule, I guess the point is, and that's why I said yesterday when we were doing this or the other day, that it really does come down to how you view those Miami games. with Tua back, is Miami going to be legit or are they going to be garbage? Because the Jets have the good fortune of playing the Patriots this week, which gives them a chance, and then two games with Miami. This schedule is soft. Jacksonville stinks. The Rams stink.
Yep.
They're not winning the next four in a row, though. They'll get tripped up here somewhere along the way. I mean, they lost at home to Denver. There's the same team that lost at home to Denver.
Denver's not as bad as we thought. By the way, Denver's got four wins right now.
Understood, but they're still Denver. Like, are they better than Arizona or Indianapolis or Houston? Like,
yeah, they should be. I don't know if they're better than Houston. They could be. I don't know if they're better than
Arizona's
Houston.
Dangerous. I mean,
yeah.
It's who's a soft schedule, which would give you hope. Look, I'm not ready to go. Here's the bottom line. Forget about who they're playing.
Yeah.
They themselves stink.
That's the key. We're getting wrapped up in the opponent. They got to fix their own house.
Yes.
Otherwise, they have no shot.
Their offensive line's a mess.
Mess.
Defensively, they're a mess. Although I did read that the corners should be back.
They missed DJ Reed.
But
DJ
still,
Reed's terrific.
Oh, yeah. And Reddick coming back. Everyone's going to get pumped up about that. Another week of
Adams. He's not going to hurt.
I mean, because they have the players and because their schedule is soft, there is still reason. Like, the Giants are toast. They're dead in the water. There's no chance. They don't have the players. They don't have the schedule.
I agree.
Like, they're toast.
I agree.
The Jets at least have a chance. I can't see it. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Sal, BDR. Good show again.
Thanks, Lou. What's up?
Before I go to Cashman, is it true that Fernando Valenzuela passed away?
Yes, it is. 61 years of age.
Wow,
the great Fernando. Fernando Valenzuela, for those who didn't know, he did.
That's going to motivate the L.A. for that. Oh, my God. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, anyway, when I started to really first watch baseball, that's when Fernando Mania was busting out. I mean, he was a one-man show.
If you like baseball, it was very exciting. It was a show.
Yes, it
anyway,
was.
Anyway, going back to Cashman, if you don't mind.
Yep.
He signed Gerrit Cole, who was with 217 with the Houston Astros. He cheated Dan with the Astros. When he was asked, he denied it. Then he started using the spider attack, which is cheating, okay? Which was the greatest pitcher that ever, I mean, he was on a pace to be one of the greatest pitchers that ever lived. Because his ratio from strikeout to balls was incredible.
Yeah.
And then Alex Rodriguez, if you remember, who actually gave him that championship, Cashman denied and didn't want to sign Alex Rodriguez. And the late George decided to sign him. And you know what? It worked out. And Cashman was the guy that benched A-Rod on purpose. So he doesn't hit 700 home run and close to 800. So that's the reason why he still got a job. Because he's like a financial advisor for Hawk.
I appreciate the call. I don't think that's fair. Like, we could sit here and debate the merits of, you know, from A to Z, because there's obviously a lot of great things on Brian Cashman's resume, to the point where I think he's an executive Hall of Famer. Like, he's done enough, in my opinion. I think eventually he will be enshrined and recognized as a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, now we're just minimizing his complete, you know, run with the Yankees, which I think is a little overstated at the beginning, because that was, you know, that was Watson, that was Stick, that was Pettit, that was Bernie already in the pipeline. We know what it was, all right? And then 09, you know, A-Rod won, and he was great, and he was jacked up on roids, but did he really want him? I don't know. But to think that Brian Cashman is nothing more than a money man for Hal is just disrespectful to Brian Cashman. It just is.
At least one thing is being consistent about Brian Cashman. He doesn't like cheaters.
Didn't like
A-Rod back then.
Yeah.
Doesn't like
Clemens. He liked Giambi. He liked some of them.
Yeah, maybe that was before he knew that they were
before
cheating.
Before he had an awakening?
Maybe. Well, maybe it was before he knew.
Yeah.
And with A-Rod, he knew, which is why he, I think, was, you know,
a little hostile to him. I'm not going to be so naive to think that he didn't know with some of the earlier guys, but I'm going to defend Brian and say I think everybody knew. And by the way, if I was in the game back then as a GM, just keep it real, I would have looked the other way as well. I mean, to think that I would have been some Pied Piper. I'm going to just blow the whistle and clean up the game. There's no way. I would have got, you know, this guy's juiced up. Whatever.
Walk.
Help me win.
Also let Cano walk.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I mean, I think once he started to...
Which was smart, by the way.
Well, right,
smart move.
Probably because he might have known what was going on.
I've always surmised that. Yeah, that there were some whispers in the organization about Cano.
Anthony's in Old Bridge. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Hey, good afternoon, boys. Thanks for taking the call, as always. BT, it's your boy, Stevie B, Diamond Girl.
Stevie B, Diamond Girl.
I'm gonna listen. I don't want to go 6-for-6. Sal clipped me 5 phone calls in a row. Uh-huh. I really. Can you just give me a minute? Give me some pain. I'm please.
Get to it. God. I'm begging you. Just please get to it, Ann. I'm not gonna touch anything. Okay. Get to it, please.
You got it, Sal. Thank you. You're being so good to me today. I need you guys to make 2 columns of 6 pitching stats.
Go ahead.
Side to side, 2 separate.
Real pitchers. Fast. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Pitcher A, write down 26, 150, 0.68, 126, 282.
I don't know what we're talking about. You're spitting out numbers.
Yeah, I think he's trying to get to Ohtani. I can't write down those numbers. My head's already bleeding.
No,
I can't.
The reason I'm saying is because Ohtani's numbers in 21, 22, and 23 compared to Gerrit Cole's pitching numbers are not that off. And you're making Gerrit Cole a first ballot Hall of Famer, and Sal said, and I quote, Ohtani is just good as a pitcher. His numbers, he has a lower batting average against, he has a lower run average, and a higher strikeout rate. The only thing he doesn't have is the innings. So he pitched 5 less starts over the last 3 years per season.
Ohtani... All right, so Ohtani's a good pitcher. I don't disagree with that.
No, he's not good. He's an ace or a number 2 on every team.
Whoa. I think there's a big difference between an ace or a 2. I do agree. He's a really good 2. I don't know that I look at him as an ace.
Okay, on some teams he might be an ace.
Yeah, on bad teams.
Okay, I'll take it. But now let's take on top of that, he's in the top 3 best hitters in baseball.
How I got
you. Compare Lindor playing shortstop.
Yeah.
He plays shortstop.
You think playing shortstop?
He plays every day.
Shortstop is harder than making 30 starts a season.
I think I can make a good case. Is it okay to cut Anthony off here?
Yeah, we can get rid of
Okay,
it.
There you go.
Thanks,
Anthony. I think I can make a good case for a shortstop who plays every day to be more valuable, or at least just as valuable as a pitcher who pitches every 5th day when healthy, by the way, which he hasn't. Ohtani hasn't been. So he's had, let's see here. He was out 19. 20 was the shortened season. 2021.
And he only made 2 starts in 2020, by the way. That year. I think he pitched 2 innings in 2020, if I remember.
Ohtani has in his career 10 games started in 18, 2 games in 2020, 23 games in 2021, 28 games in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good year, and he had a 2.3 ERA.
Yep, that was a really good year.
23 games last year,
I think that's the year he didn't even get out of the first inning against the Yankees. But anyway, at the stadium, go ahead, keep going.
2023, he pitched 23 games and had a 3.14 ERA.
Okay.
And his career ERA is 3. So, all right, I mean, it's not
bad. He's good.
But he hasn't pitched, like, you talk about an ace. Can an ace pitch close to 200 innings in a season?
Be nice.
So we gave you the starts. How many innings do you think was his career high? Do you have the numbers up?
I don't.
I have it here.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Well, the 2020 was the condensed season. All right. So I would say, I know he's never thrown more than 170. I know that for a fact. I would say 161.
Yeah, 166 was his high. And he did that once in 2022.
Okay.
He threw 130 the year before that, 166, and then 132. That's an ace.
No, it's not.
That's like an old. That's 130 innings?
No, it's not.
Come on, bro.
Now, if that guy's ready for the playoffs, that's really all that matters, but he's not ready for the playoffs this year. All right, let me throw it. Although I did, if you missed this, I did throw this at Sal early in the show, just a little snippet. Dave Roberts was asked about Ohtani in the Mets series.
Right.
Hey, maybe an out. And he said no, but the door seems to be. I'm not going to say ajar, but like it's not shut down and locked and sealed for him to maybe come into this series and try to get an out. Maybe he's thrown off a mound that is from 60 feet, 6 inches. Anyway.
Now, I'm sorry, BT.
No, I was going to say, because I'm going to move to something else. So did you want to finish up on Ohtani?
I did. Yeah, not even him. Because Ant compared Ohtani to Gerrit Cole.
There's no comparison.
Big mistake.
Well, there's no comparison.
There is no comparison. Not only is Cole's career ERA 3.18, he's pitched a billion times more. His rookie year, 117. I'm giving you innings now.
Yep.
138, 208.
With the Pirates, yep.
116, 203, 200, 212. And he came to the Yankees in pandemic year.
Yep, 2020.
All right, so forget that. 2021, 181, 200, 209.
He's a horse, dude.
That's
an ace.
There's
nothing to talk about.
Right, but horse. Anthony's saying that Ohtani's just as good. I'll tell you why he's the best.
He's not.
No.
Thank God I didn't write down those numbers. I would have lost myself. So if I said, so this will incorporate Ohtani if you want to. If I said to you, Sal, and let's extend it, let's go with 5, all right? Patty, if you think we're missing, you're a big baseball guy as well, Zoo. If you think we're missing an obvious one, chime in when we're done. If you owned a franchise and you have access to every player, we'll go one, then I'll go, then you go this. So we'll get a list of five, okay? Eventually get five. You're starting a team tomorrow. You own it. Who are you starting your team with?
Yeah, it's a tough question because are we factoring in age, price?
You can factor in however you want. I always factor in age when I look at something like this. I'll give you my first choice, Witt.
Well, he was on my list. I was going to say, not for the crappy postseason.
But
here's why I like this conversation and why I like the answer. Because you're taking a young stud of a shortstop.
Dude, he's the fastest guy in baseball. He's unbelievable. Right. I'm going to start with Witt. Who are you starting
with? I'm going to have Judge Soto on my list. Okay. I'm trying to write them down before I get into it.
All right. Are you going to have Gunnar Henderson on your list? I'm going to.
I put Betts on my list as well.
How old's Mookie at this point? 32?
He's still a beast.
I know he is. But again, if I'm starting a team, that's the catch.
Yeah, I mean, you taking Acuna on that list?
He gets hurt a lot. Yeah, no, I don't know if I am,
right,
actually.
Fair enough.
Not Julio Rodriguez, a little down year. I thought maybe last year I may have said yes. I definitely have Witt, and I definitely have Soto.
Look.
And I definitely have Gunnar Henderson. Right. I don't know if I have Judge at age 32.
All right.
I don't know that.
Look, Otani is, and I'm assuming that's the point to get to where you would take
that's
Otani.
That's why I'm getting right. Maybe okay. Corbin Carroll, but he had a down year. He was awful for the Diamondbacks, Carroll.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the kid with the Orioles.
Gunnar Henderson. Talking about the catcher?
No. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up here. The kid with the Padres, Jackson Churio. Or Brewers, I'm sorry. Brewers.
They gave him money.
Yeah, Churio.
They already gave him money, Sal.
That's what I meant. The Padres with Jackson Merrill was the first guy I was looking at. Yeah. Yeah, those two guys are good players.
Two good names.
Like, the point is, Otani is, nobody's going to debate how great a player he is. I do think it's gotten to a point where he's actually overrated. He doesn't play this year. He's going to win the MVP and people are going nuts about, oh my God, 50-50. He's a DH.
You know what? It's funny. I've had this conversation with him. I thought up until this year he was a little bit overrated.
Yeah.
You steal 50 bags.
I get it. He didn't have to play defense.
I know, but then you hit the 50 bombs. I mean, he is unbelievable.
Changing gears here, BT, before we have Howie. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Howie Rose about the Mets. David Stearns met the media today, the year-end press conference, and had this to say when talking about the future of Pete Alonso.
How much, if at all, did the last 3 weeks maybe change or alter your opinion of him?
Pete's a great Met. He was right out there right before I came in. I told him I was about to answer a lot of questions about him. He told me good luck. He's a great Met. I hope we have him back. I think we both understand this is a process, and everyone's got their own interests. And Pete deserves to go out into the free agent market and see what's out there and then ultimately make the best choice for him and his family.
See you, Pete.
Well, I'm
kind of what I'm hearing.
Basically, what I would deduce from that is that he's saying, hey, we have a value of what we think he's worth. We know he's a great Met. We like the player, but we have a value to what we think he's worth.
Mm-hmm.
He, Pete, wants to go out there and see what he's worth on the open market. Then from there, the Mets will assess, similar to Saquon Barkley, the difference is no salary cap. The Mets will assess whatever it may be. Let's say the Cubs think he's $190 million, and the Mets say, no, we've got him at $150.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Cubs say $200, and the Mets say, no, we've got him at $160, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's what I take from that.
I think that's pretty smart. That's a good deduction. You can use other variations of the word, by the way.
Yeah.
I like that. I was also pretty candid. Like, he didn't try to, fool us or I'm really looking forward to get Howie's opinion on this, which we will come up next year with BT and Sal. I don't think the 3 weeks changed their opinion. It might change a few fans' opinions who would jump off and maybe jump in. I don't think it changed their opinion. I don't think he's back. I'd like to see him back. I don't think he is. I don't. All right, BT and Sal here. 888-808-1019 is the number. We'll get back to the calls in a bit. Howie Rose to wrap up the great Mets. Is Howie at the parade route? I just need to make sure. Is Howie out there with the walkie-talkie doing the spot from the parade route? All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. It has been a pleasure to be joined by Howie Rose for the last several weeks with the Mets going on an incredible run. Today, the final of those appearances. Howie's appearance is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Boy, what an incredible run, Howie. The first thing, though, and we do appreciate your time today. First thing I want to ask you is, why should we believe that this one's different as opposed to, you know, 2006? We thought that was going to be the time. 2015, it feels like this is the beginning of something special here, maybe a sustained run. Why do you think that that's the case?
I think because of the synergism that exists between ownership, the front office, the manager, coaches, all the way down to the players in the dugout. And I'm not saying that they're going to be interchangeable because there is going to be change, but I would submit that the owner, say GM / president of baseball operations, manager triumvirate, has a better cooperative relationship than any of those three positions simultaneously that I've seen in all my years covering the Mets. It's that harmonious. They're pulling in the same direction. They're all extremely bright and good at what they do. And I would look at those three as the biggest reason why.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that. You get the resources of Cohen. You got the brain power of Stearns. Cohen also learning in his short tenure here as owner. What do you think is the biggest thing that this team needs, Howie, to get over the hump?
Well, I don't think it's any more complicated, really, than just having better players, you know? I think they need to stretch out, as most teams seem to these days, their starting pitching. You know, ideally with a healthy Senga, they'd like to go with six, but, you know, we're talking about a lot of age in that starting rotation as it concluded this season. I don't know that Severino, Quintana, and, you know, and all three of them are going to be back, you know. I think that when you look at the entirety of the Mets starting rotation, I think Manaea's got a great chance to come back. And, you know, Severino took the one-year deal, and he's going to shop himself around. And you know, Quintana may be in a situation where maybe they want to go younger. I don't know, but I think generally they need to be a little deeper and younger in the starting rotation.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Howie, and that's where it gets interesting. I'm totally with you, and I think you laid out nicely and very well the synergy that exists between ownership, GM, manager. It's real. Now, the roster chemistry this year was also really real, but these things are fluid, kind of like the Knicks. We're talking a lot about the Knicks today here. You know, the Knicks had this certain energy last year, and with some new players, it's very different. Although it could wind up in a better spot, it could be worse. So you mentioned some names. Pete's name's got to be mentioned as well. Iglesias. Do you roll with Marte and McNeil and Bader? Like, is it inconceivable that they've got 11 or 12 new players on the roster next season?
Inconceivable, no. I don't think it's inconceivable at all. I'm not sure how likely it is, but I know that a lot of the guys who are free agents probably, in some of the cases you mentioned, now look, Starling Marte's not a free agent. He's got one more year on his contract. Whether or not he's here depends on whether they might find a deal for him that would fill a hole somewhere else, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, guys like Bader on a one-year deal, Iglesias on a one-year deal. Certainly Iglesias did enough to earn himself a major league contract for next year, and you would think that he would accept the kind of role that was envisioned for him this year, which is more of a utility role than what he wound up filling when Jeff McNeil got hurt. Because as great a story as Iglesias was, you know, I'd like to think to these pedestrian eyes, he kind of wore down over the last month of the season and into the postseason. So, you know, I don't see him as the everyday second baseman next year, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine they would bring him back. But as far as Alonso goes, that's the big question right now. I think what happened in the postseason with Pete probably improved his chances in my own evaluation of coming back to the Mets to where maybe I'd make it a drop more than 50-50, whereas, say, going into September, I wouldn't have given much chance at all that Pete would be back. And the reason for that is, and I don't quite understand why, but all of the recent behavior has been to sort of devalue first basemen from what they were, even when Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson were signing.
And Goldschmidt.
Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, I look at Pete, he's 30 years old, and or he will be 30 years old by the time a new contract kicks in. And with all of the biomechanical and analytic metrics that are out there that can best inform what a player is going to look like in year two, year four, year five, year six of a long-term deal, taking all of that into consideration, I don't know, even now, even with a good postseason, that the Mets have an appetite for a 6 or 7 year deal for that player. So I would guess that, and I could be way off here, I could be completely wrong, they could offer him a 7 year deal for big money and that's that, but my hunch has always been that they were more likely to offer him a shorter term deal in the neighborhood of 3 years at big money, whatever that is, give him a couple of opt-outs if he wants, but I would think organizationally they might favor that to the 6 or 7 year deal.
Now, whether
Pete would sign that or not, I don't know.
Do you think, Howie, that, because there's a lot there, but the way that they built this team this year and what they called a reset year, you know, fans are like, okay, fine, one-year deal here, one-year deal there, short-term mm-hmm. deals. But there's something to it, the way that Stearns built this team. Do you think that they're going to keep that this offseason, or because the payroll's way down and they have a lot more to spend, that it's going to be a different philosophy in how Stearns approaches this offseason versus last?
It's a great question that I can only guess for an answer, but certainly won't have one until we get to spring training. But I think for all of Steve Cohen's money, he's not going to let it burn a hole in his pocket. He's too smart and he's too successful to simply say, I'm just going to give everybody blank checks, you know, like Oprah gave away cars. It's nothing like that. Now, Juan Soto is a generational free agent because he's going to be 26 this weekend. If you sign him, you're signing a guy who's going to give you most of the prime of his career. Those are the guys you spend big on, in my opinion. And David Stearns has really not had that luxury before of being able to pursue a player like that. But keep one word in mind that Steve Cohen uttered often from the very beginning of his tenure as Mets owner, from his very first press conference: sustainability. He wants to build an organization that will be good enough to win regularly, largely by building that organization from within. So, yeah, they've got the resources to go out and sign Soto and keep Alonso. I don't know that both of them are, you know, realistic possibilities at the same time, but maybe. But at the same point, I think David's got more wiggle room financially than he's ever had before. But he's also very pragmatic, and I think he even said earlier today at his press conference that you've got to be careful not to get into situations that are going to hamper you and preclude you from doing what you want to do for a number of years down the road if the payroll becomes bloated.
There's a lot of, I mean, this is good stuff, of course. Howie Rose, BT and Sal, he's been with us during this entire riveting run. He sounded great on the mic. Is like as good as you've ever sounded, man. And I've enjoyed it. We've all enjoyed it. You have been absolutely money and really good on the show here as well. Listen, it very well might not come down to this because if Cohen wants to go bonkers, he could do everything. But in your opinion, if it did come to this, just hypothetically, theoretically, Corbin Burns and Alonso or just Soto? What's the better move for the Mets?
I'll be completely blunt. I don't know that one would preclude the other necessarily.
Uh-huh.
Because even, as I said just a moment ago, they want to be careful about sustainability, and Steve's not going to let money burn a hole in his pocket and all of those things that I firmly believe. I also can't speak to whatever impulses he and David Stearns might feel if it becomes plausible that they can have two or three of those players. But again, I would caution about Burns just because I'm so tired of seeing starting pitchers who have been minimized and practically marginalized from what they used to be, given contracts that are unfulfillable. You know, I mean, how many times do you have to see, you know, pitchers sign big deals and they begin to decline or they get hurt? They're all getting hurt.
Yep.
You know, Dan Wharton, when he was the pitching coach of the Mets, used to joke, and I'm not so sure he was joking. He used to say, when we draft him, let's give him Tommy John right away and get it out of the way. I mean, how many times do we have to watch generations of pitching staffs between Pulsiver, Isringhausen, and Wilson, all the way through to the big five that took the Mets to a pennant in 2015? That whole vaunted five-man pitching staff 9 years ago, you know how many turns they made through the rotation as a group of five? You ready for this?
How many?
One.
Wow.
One. They made one start as a unit of five. Somebody was always hurt. Every one of them had Tommy John surgery, right? Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Wheeler, Matt. All Tommy John. And so, you know, when you take a pitcher who's accomplished, as Corbin Burns is, but what is he, 28, 29, 30, he's 29, 30, somewhere in there?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of contract makes realistic sense? Forget about the money, because the dollars don't even matter anymore. They're in such a stratosphere that we can't even interpret what they mean. It's, to me, about the length of the contract and what the dollars in conjunction with that mean in terms of your viability during the length of time that that player is signed for, and when he ultimately either declines or gets hurt, how much of an albatross that deal becomes. And most of them become albatrosses. I think the only one that didn't was Max Scherzer when he signed with Washington. And I'm probably leaving one or two out, but
ironically,
that's the exception.
Yeah, Garrett Cole's been pretty good for the Yankees this year, aside he missed some time. That one's, for the most part, rewarded them, but you're not wrong.
Remember now, early
epidemic.
In the year, they were afraid they weren't going to have Cole at all.
No, right? I know. Trust me. And he's not even fully perfect, but about as close as it gets. You're not wrong.
And the Mets, Scherzer with the Nationals was a great example. He was the best one to fill that contract or even exceed the expectations. But Scherzer, Verlander here, DeGrom, even DeGrom now in tech, like. And Howie, that's why I said there's something to the way the Mets built the team. I was always, get the pitching. Well, they tried that, and it hasn't been sustainable. This year, they go out there and sign these guys to one-year deals, and it worked. So invest. And by the way, Cohen tried to invest big in the younger pitcher with Yamamoto, which makes me think that he is going to go all in for Soto. What that means, how much that is, but this is the guy. He's not...
Right. Absolutely, for Soto.
Cohen's smart as well as rich. This is the type of investment you make. If there's somebody to go all in for and spend that money, Soto's the guy you do it for.
I think the most intriguing question of all, and particularly if Juan Soto goes on to have imagine if he has a great World Series, becomes World Series MVP. Forget the numbers, the stratosphere he'll be in. It's about who is going to give him those numbers. And can Hal Steinbrenner, and believe me, I know a lot of people who say Hal Steinbrenner is not going to match what Steve Cohen offers if Steve's offer is, you know, just higher than Hal wants to go. I don't know anything about Hal Steinbrenner personally. I've never met him. I just have people who tell me what they think they know about him, and I take that under advisement. But that seems to be the narrative, right? That Steve's going to make the biggest offer, and Hal's probably not going to match it. But if you're Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees, and frankly, whether Soto wins the World Series and becomes World Series MVP or not, How can you let him walk?
You can't. There's no way. You cannot. That's unacceptable. Hey, by the way, Howie, I said this months ago. Me and Sal basically spent every day on this for a while. If they let him go, to me, they're no longer the Yankees, especially if he goes to the Mets.
It'd be hilarious, wouldn't
no,
it?
No, well, yes, it would.
It would be the greatest thing ever outside of the Mets actually winning a World Series. But, Howie, there's two perspectives. You're right. Like, the Yankees can't let him go, but also this is why having Steve Cohen has been so valuable to the Mets organization. How do you feel about this, though?
How do you feel about Soto going to the Mets and then Pete Alonso winds up with the Yankees?
I respect Pete. I want no part of Pete. I want no part of him at this point.
It would probably bother me a little bit as a Mets fan, but not like Soto to me is a better player in the prime and all that stuff. But how we think about it, like Mookie Betts when he was a free agent or Machado or Harper, all these guys, Cohen wasn't the owner. This is the guy. Ohtani didn't want New York. Yamamoto didn't want New York. This is the guy. If he were playing anywhere but with the Yankees, we'd all be saying he's going to be a Met. That's what makes it so fascinating. He's the guy they need because you mentioned it. They need better players. Well, if Nimmo and Alonso aren't those guys to hit 3-4 on a championship team, who is? Juan Soto's got to be the answer.
I'll say it again. When you get a free agent of his caliber at his age, where you're essentially getting, the prime of his career, because he'll play all of next season at age 26, that's the guy you spend what you need to get. And given that Steve is certainly capable of doing that, that's the guy that they are obviously and then going to target. And then it's a question of where the numbers go and would the Yankees go that far? I think that, you know, for all of however comfortable and successful Soto's been in the Bronx, he has given, from people who know, every indication that he wants every last nickel on the table.
Yep.
And if that's going to be the case, then sit back and just watch how this thing plays out, because I think it's going to be fascinating. Because, you know, will the Yankee fan base accept Soto leaving for whatever the extra amount of money is to go to the Mets after the season he's had and potentially might have in the next week and 10 days? This is going to be great.
I got a little foreshadow with this guy. Boy, did you hear him perking up when he starts talking about Soto to the Mets?
Baby.
Hey, well, maybe you guys.
This is all hypothetical.
I understood, but we've hit this for months. Well, this is the last thing for me. Now, I just want to be very upfront about this, Howie. I don't have any dilemma with this because it's a very simple one for me. But there is there are questions around the station, around the city. You're a Mets fan right now. Do you pull for the Yankees to win because the Dodgers knocked you out? You're a long-term Mets fan. Who are you rooting for in this series?
I don't know, and it's not a cop-out, because here's what I have found over the years, and maybe you guys have found this too, but this is just how it works for me. I don't feel as though I have a dog in the race, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, in my dad's memory, who was a huge Yankee fan, I could probably make the case it would be nice, you know, for them to win for my dad.
Okay.
But that's not really what I'm feeling sort of on a visceral level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm feeling on a visceral level. It'll play out in front of me, and then I notice. I mean, this may sound crazy because there's no thought that goes into it at all, but I'll be watching the game, and if something happens, I'm going to have an internal reaction to that, either positive or negative for either team. I don't know which one, and I don't know which way, but I just find myself involuntarily starting to pull for one team or another without my having any idea going in which team that's going to be.
Interesting.
I know it sounds like a cop-out, but for me, that's kind of how it works when I have a situation like this where it's, okay, Yankees, Dodgers, that's cool. I've seen it before. I know the history. I lived a lot of the history. But I don't know what I'm rooting for. My internal organs will let me know.
I love that answer. Actually, I felt the same way. I'm like, I haven't hated the Yankees in a long time. It's been and then I started watching them play in the postseason. I was like, oh, yeah, there it is. I'm rooting against this team. It naturally came to me. Howie, you're the best. It's been a pleasure having
thanks,
you on.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, seriously, thank you so much.
Been.
An honor for me personally. Grew up loving you. Still do. So we appreciate it.
Come on.
You're my favorite, Howie. Love
I appreciate
And it was
that.
A great run. So it was fun having you on. You did a great job. Looking forward to having you again next year.
Thank you, guys. It's always my pleasure. Be well.
Howie's appearance brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. We got a break, but that was great. And really, for me, I told you, I loved it. Like, as a kid in school, I was writing them letters.
I appreciate that stuff, man. It doesn't sound, you know, too much. It's one of the reasons why you're here. I mean, he inspired. It's great.
It is true what he said. We could come back, end it with call of the day here, but it is true. You don't know until you start watching, and then you start to get the rumblings in you.
Yeah, and I do have a Soto question that's different. I want to ask you that coming up as well. So squeeze it all in. Yep.
Brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo car you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. We had two calls of the day, both Howie and Susan. A pleasure to have them on every Wednesday talking baseball.
They have been great. Howie was awesome. We'll have Susan as well because the Yankees are still going. Something we'll get to tomorrow, Sal. More likely, because we'll talk a lot about Soto here with Howie and with some other stuff, he remains with the Yankees if the Yankees win the World Series or if they lose. I go back and forth. I want to flush it out a little bit tomorrow.
The Soto conversation is going to be fascinating and last a while. Yanks are in the World Series. Soto is a Yankee for now. All right, that does it for us. Thanks, everybody who called and listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Zoo. Thanks to Pat Boyle as well, filling in for Hoff. We'll see you tomorrow at 10. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.